This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. We are at the top of the hour, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, on this beautiful Wednesday. And we're just going to get right into it. We are ready for our favorite segment of the week, Donna's Delights down in Delaware. I can't wait to hear what Donna has in store for us. Today's just been like a crazy day.
Oh, it has?
I feel like I'm running. It's not funny.
Well, you're a business owner. You got stuff going on.
I don't know if it's a good, but no, I don't know. I'm feeling like it's too much. But anyway.
I mean, this is your life, right? I mean,
today's worse.
Oh, is it?
I don't know why.
Oh.
But anyway, Donna, I hear you're ready. What's happening?
Hey, it's never too much. Never too much. You got the juice. You got the power, girl. You got it. You superwoman.
Okay.
Wait. You got it. You know, you every woman. It's all in you. You know, everybody wants to be like you.
Well, yeah.
Funny.
Chaka Khan did that song about her.
Walk in my shoes one day.
Well, you know what? If they're stilettos, because you know, you fashionably, you know, you like your fashion. So I think we could rock some red bottoms. We cool. We good.
There ain't no stilettos on my feet.
Wait, we'll go. We go to off Broadway and hit them up.
I took it off Broadway.
You know, don't play with me. It's fall too. The leaves is about to change, and you know you about to change. So you know we get it in. You got it. You got the juice.
Why is everybody trying to rush summer out of here? Summer's got three more full weeks.
At least.
Yeah,
and maybe it's an Indian summer, you know?
I love the fall. This is my time. It's comfort food time almost, you know? It's back to grits and gravy.
There you go.
Well, yeah, Carol just had grits as
I
part
did.
Of her dinner last night.
I had grits last night.
You had grits last night? Did you put some cheese in it, baby?
Yes. It was shrimp and grits.
Oh,
it was so good.
Did you put some cheese? And then did you put some hot sauce on it?
You know, that would have been the best. Daryl's the one that made it. So I didn't fuss with it. It was Daryl's recipe. Well,
okay.
Not Daryl's recipe, but followed a recipe. But no, it was delicious. Yeah,
okay.
It was very, very good. Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Well, I got a question for you, okay? Can going gluten-free get rid of my begut?
Your what?
Your upper gut?
No, my begut.
Oh, begut.
What's that?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you want to know? That's when your butt is bigger than your gut.
Oh, begut.
That's when your gut is bigger than your butt. Your begut. You hear me? You think going gluten-free can get rid of my begut? That's when your belly is bigger than your butt.
Okay.
But yours isn't.
No, but I'm on this gluten-free. I went to the library and I got this book on gluten-free recipes, and I'm looking through it and I'm like, hey, I got another question. Can glutton make you gluten? I mean, can being glutton make you gluten? Can gluten make you a glutton?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? Me either.
I don't know.
I love bread. That's my problem. I love bread.
I know. Me too.
And anything that's got that floury, but I realize that you need the protein, but I'm a breadaholic. So I was just wondering, can I get rid of that gluten? So that's what I got this book in front of me, and so I was just thinking that. And then I realized that I love pizza. I love anything with dough and crust.
Mm.
But I was looking that they had a recipe with cauliflower that you could use cauliflower as a pizza crust. What y'all think about that?
Yes, I've done that, actually.
You have?
And it came out fantastic. Now, there's a few challenges along the way if you've not worked with cauliflower as a crust. Mm-hmm. But I did it on my pizza stone at 500 degrees and followed a recipe. And
500 degrees? Where was you at? In hell?
No, that'll be someday, I'm sure. But I'll be cooking lots of pizzas in hell. So, you know,
okay.
If you're coming, I'll take care of you if you're coming down there to meet me.
I ain't got that one. You got that one. You hear me?
All right.
But
well,
on a pizza stone, 500. But it was good,
no, but
then, right?
Yeah. If you're using the pizza stone, you don't want it really much less than 500 degrees if you want to get that crust nice and crunchy. Seriously.
Okay. And that's with the and you use a cauliflower. So that's
yes.
That's what we're getting into today. You
oh,
know?
Good.
So we're getting into it. You ready? You ready for it?
Yeah, I got my note taking going on here.
Oh, you ready to take some notes? Okay, let's take some notes. All right, here we go. All right, here it goes. Blast off. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off. Okay.
Oh.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. And because we gotta give Carol some energy, so I'm sending Carol my energy. Woosa,
okay,
woosa, woosa. Here you go, Carol. With some hot sauce and with some barbecue sauce. Woosa, woosa, woosa. Get some energy. So here we go. If you know anything about me, I like different and interesting foods. I have had alligator sausages, kangaroo, chitlins, and fried frog backs. Yes, I said fried frog backs. My cousin Elsie didn't waste a thing. She fried up the frog's legs and its back. So, when I fry chicken, my mama likes me to fry her the frog, to fry her the chicken backs, which I do, and she loves them. Anyway, me and Teddy have been on this healthy quest, and we've been trying to eat less meat kind of a journey this year. So I went on Pinterest, and I found a recipe that used cauliflower. Wouldn't you know? Cauliflower is the way to go. So I like these boneless buffalo chicken bites that were cauliflower. So me and Teddy had them. And once we had them, they was banging. So if I can fry a chicken back, I think I can use this cauliflower, and we can go all the way with this cauliflower. What y'all think?
So what you're saying, do you form the cauliflower into something that looks like a chicken piece and then coat it and cook it?
Yes, okay.
Buffalo bites.
It was banging. So if you're going to serve a hard-working, manly man, the kind of man I have, a plate full of vegetables, it should be these cauliflower buffalo bites. Here's what you'll need. You'll need one big head, just like the big head Teddy got, of cauliflower. You're going to cut that into pieces, and you're going to take off the stems, and you're going to leave it into bite-sized pieces. You're going to get yourself a packet of Saison. Y'all know I love me some Saison because it gives you some color, just like me. Y'all love me because I give y'all the color.
Yeah.
So you get your packet of Saison, and then you're going to take a half a teaspoon of Montreal steak seasoning. And since we're going gluten so that I won't be a glutton, so I can get rid of this bagut I got, you're going to use some micho flour. That's rice flour. You're going to use 1 cup of that, and you're going to use 1 cup of water. And this is what you're going to do to make this batter for these buffalo bites. You're going to take 1 large bowl, and you're going to pour that rice flour, your Saison, your Montreal steak seasoning, and your water. And you're going to mix, you're going to make a batter. Then you're going to dip your, you're going to place your cauliflower in it, and you're going to coat those pieces well. Then, this is what you're going to do. You're going to spray your cookie sheet with grape seed. I use grape seed oil, or you can use any kind of cooking oil. You're going to turn that oven on, not hell, but you're going to turn it on 450 degrees, and you're going to bake those for 30 minutes. While they're baking, you're going to go ahead and make that buffalo style, because you know buffalo girls around the way, you know how we like it. I like my, you know, the regular old buffalo dressing only has hot sauce and butter. But this girl, you know me, I like to turn it up. So I wanted something sweet and something spicy, just like me. I'm a little sweet, a little spicy. So this is what you'll need. You'll need 1 stick of butter. You'll need a half a cup of Frank's hot sauce. I'll put that sugar on everything. Key. You'll need 3 tablespoons of chili garlic sauce. I found that in the Asian food aisle next to sriracha. So it was really good. It has its chilies in it, and chili and garlic. And you're going to need 1/4 cup of honey. You're going to mix that well. Now, after your buffalo bites have been in the oven for 30 minutes, you're going to take them out, and then you're going to place them in a bowl and pour that sauce, the buffalo sauce, all over it. Then you're going to transfer it back into the oven and on your cookie sheet, and you're going to bake it for 15 more minutes. You're going to remove from the oven and let it cool down so that you won't get 30-degree burns in your mouth by trying to eat them so fast. So you let them cool down for 15 minutes, and I took some non-fat Greek yogurt and 1 tablespoon of Hidden Valley Ranch dressing and whipped that up and set that on the side of my buffalo bites. And I also took some celery and chopped that up and some red peppers. And I had my hungry man didn't miss his meat because he felt the love and savored the heat. And I made him a meal fit for a king because he is a lion, but he loves to eat like a lamb. King!
That really sounds delicious.
It was. It was fabulous. You know me.
But did it look good when you pulled it out of the oven? It wasn't all scorched or anything, was it?
No. Because due to the simple fact is we ain't put it on hell, Mike. It wasn't on 500 degrees. It was on 450 degrees.
Well, 500 degrees is too high for most things. That's very true. Not for pizza crust.
Not for pizza.
Pizza can be 700 or 800 degrees, by the way.
Ooh. Well, that's why they call it 900 degrees pizza.
That's right. We have a restaurant in town called that.
I've never had that.
Yeah.
Well, you probably have. You just didn't realize it.
Okay. You know.
Yeah. It's okay. It's all good.
So that really sounds good. So I'm picturing the little florets, as they call the little chunks of cauliflower.
And they look and taste just like buffalo. Teddy didn't miss it. He was like, babe, this is good. And you know how greedy he is. You know, he's sitting there, eat them. And he was like, this is good. I was like, you eating cauliflower.
Yeah.
You ain't chicken. And you know how he likes some.
Good chucker.
So, you know, he ain't missed it. So he had cauliflower.
All right, what he didn't tell you is after that, he snuck out and went to the local burger place and had himself a couple of hamburgers.
He went to Chick-fil-A.
He'll eat nowhere but home because he knows Mama cooks the rice for him. He good.
Yeah, he is.
You're a great cook.
So I wanted y'all to leave y'all with that. And go ahead and try it all, because remember, life is for living and food is for giving. And Donna's out of here, Buffalo style girl.
Hi, Donna.
Good job. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, that's actually a worthwhile recipe, because cauliflower, I mean, think about it. We made pizza crust with it. You can make chicken tenders, and you can smash it up, and it could take the place of mashed potatoes.
Yeah. It's pretty versatile. Just like
healthy.
Healthy Solution Spice Blend.
There you go.
Actually, you could probably put the sage in Healthy Solution Spice Blends on the cauliflower.
Yes, you could.
There you go.
All right.
My goodness.
Time all together.
Whew.
I don't know about you, but I could use a good burger about now. A big honking burger and some
nice
fries in a paper
burger bag.
Do you think that's going to happen?
Yum. I don't think so.
No. But we can talk about Five
gonna
Guys, right?
We're going to definitely talk about it. We are.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Food for Thought. We're going to go on break, and we will be joined with Court Mendez, one of the owners of Five Guys in New Hampshire. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Food for Thought is on the air and brought to you by our friends at Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room of Food for Thought, and Kale and Company. Also, New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com.
Welcome back, Food for Thought. And we are in studio with Court Mendez, the owner of Five Guys Burgers and Fries, and you own the whole New Hampshire territory.
Correct.
Very nice. Welcome to Food for Thought.
Thank you for having me.
And I need to, Bob, who is our producer back in Bow, he's doing all the boards back there. He said to say hi to you, because he's the guy who gets to call the Five Guys Burgers and Fries strikeouts at Northeast Delta.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Summer, so.
We have a fantastic partnership with the Fisher Cats. It's been a real pleasure to be working with them for the past many years. So thank you very much for saying hello.
Bob, go ahead. Talk to him.
Well, I'm a big fan, so there's no point in not saying that right off. Be sure to visit any of the 10 Five Guys Burgers and Fries we have in New Hampshire, right? 10 of them.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you for being so good to Five Guys, Bob.
No problem. Keep it up.
Very
thanks.
Cool.
Fans everywhere.
Awesome. Yeah, very cool. So how long have you been doing this? When was your first one?
The very first location opened up on Amherst Street in Nashua in October of 2009. And the last one to open was in Concord in June of 2014, right? Yes. So I opened up 10 in less than 5 years. So.
Are you like, you seem to be pretty sane.
It's like, all on the surface.
Now, when you opened up your very first one, did you think you'd be where you are right now back in 2009?
Well, you never know. And, you know, I mean, I've been very blessed with number one. Luck had a lot to do with a lot of, you know, success of Five Guys. in New Hampshire. From the standpoint of when I started to look for locations, that was right when the economy was in, having a very difficult time. So, you know, Five Guys had, you know, no notoriety in the state whatsoever. And when I was approaching different banks, I was kind of getting a little bit of the cold shoulder because it was an unproven concept at the time. And fortunately, I was able to convince First Colebrook Bank. I'll give them a little bit of a plug. They were great, and they absolutely took a chance, and things happened to go in the right direction. So I was able to get very good locations because no one else was looking at the time when the economy was having such a rough time. And then a lot of good national press was coming out at the same time, none of which I really could have ever forecasted, and it just that's the kind of how things kind of panned out, as well as I work with a very, very strong director of operations, Paul Myers. He's fantastic. He does a great job day in, day out. You know, it's he lives and breathes this concept as much as I do. And, underneath that, we've got, very, very dedicated people from our HR director to our district manager and all the general managers and assistant managers. So operations is certainly a big part of the success that we've experienced so far. It's any business, I say this all the time, any business is about the people. Certainly it starts with a great product, and I think everybody that works at Five Guys will agree that we do have great burgers and fries, but the food can be great, but if the experience is poor, you've got a bad staff, the place is dirty, all those kinds of things, the guests are not going to return. And so we take that very seriously, and, been able to open up 10 locations in a short amount of time, and we'll see what tomorrow brings.
Well, the founder, of course, Jerry Murrell, is that how you say his last name?
Yes.
Murrell. You have his sons to thank, because Jerry didn't really want to franchise the whole operation at first. His kids had to convince him. He just wanted to stay in Virginia, where it really started, and his kids kept working on him, and obviously that was the right thing to do.
That's absolutely correct. We just had our Five Guys meeting, national meeting, a couple months ago, and one of the things that the franchisees have been pushing for is milkshakes. It's absolutely the number one requested item that we get, and why I bring that up is because the family and everybody that works for Five Guys refers to the Murrells as the family because they're the ultimate decision makers. They were extremely resistant to the idea of shakes, just like Jerry was extremely resistant to the idea of franchising. And through a lot of meetings and a lot of convincing, early on, Jerry agreed to go ahead and franchise. And when I happened to get in, the territories are just getting bought up all over the place instantly, and within just a matter of a few years, the entire country was sold out. And they never did any advertising, for franchising. It was all word of mouth, and obviously it spread pretty quickly. But when it came to the idea of shakes, gosh, the franchisees have been pushing that idea for years now, and the family's like, no, we need to stay with what we do well. And we want to stay with burgers and fries. That's it. And they tried many different variations on the product, and it just wasn't getting to where they felt comfortable to do it. This past year at our meeting, maybe 10 months ago, they finally agreed to bring in milkshakes. And now many, many locations have milkshakes, and New Hampshire just got approved. I just got my plans back in. So we are going to be putting them in, starting in Concord and Portsmouth, and then we'll do the rest of the state. But why I bring that up is that at the Five Guys meeting, Jerry Murrell got up on stage and he was literally in tears talking about letting go of a lot of the control of the decisions that are being made. And he's allowing the franchisees to at least have some more input, which is a really great thing to see. And it's something that we really haven't seen, franchisees anyway, really since we got on board. So that's really been a nice change.
Now, for those of you just tuning in, you are listening to The Pulse, and we are in studio with Court Mendez, the New Hampshire territory owner of Five Guys. Now, Jerry Murrell, when you talk about him and you go to these meetings, is it yearly that you have these Five Guys national meetings?
We have them every 2 years.
Every 2 years.
Yeah.
Now, is he an approachable guy? I mean, do you talk with him? Do you know him?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you walked up to him and said, oh, gee, hey, do you know Court Mendez? Yeah, maybe he'd recognize the name. But, I mean, there's, you know, 160 franchisees. So, I you know, and as many people as he meets, I don't know that he'd – it might register. I don't know, but maybe. But anyway, he is absolutely approachable. I mean, he's about as regular a guy as they come. And, you know, he's – I mean, he's just who I had to meet with when I originally wanted to become a franchisee. You know, I went through the process first, and then the last step is really meeting with Jerry. And, you know, they gave Jerry all this paperwork, you know, just to go through my whole application, financials and all that kind of stuff. I don't think he even looked at it, you know, and I met with him for maybe 10 minutes. And he's just like, he either likes you or he doesn't. And actually, I'm not even sure they did like me, but he approved me. But so,
well, you're making them money.
That's right. They seem to be doing okay.
Yeah. Are his kids hands on? Are his kids in the business?
Yeah. So the two oldest, actually, I guess two second oldest, are very involved in the operational side. The two youngest are involved in the bread, the bakery part, and then the youngest is on the. He does a lot of IT stuff, and the whole family's involved. The wife, Janie Morrell, she's extremely involved. She's a CFO, and she is instrumental in, getting Five Guys to where they are today, in my opinion. So, you know,
I don't know if this is still in effect, but I love the business model that gives bonuses. You have, you know, audits that take place, announced and unannounced. And in some situations I read about, if the audits are good, then certain crews get to split X amount of money. Is that still something that's going on?
Most definitely. So a big, I guess it depends on who you talk to, but Five Guys is very set on the idea of the best form of advertising is word of mouth. And I think most people would agree with that. But I ask a lot of different people that are, you know, somewhat familiar with the brand. Have you ever seen an ad for Five Guys? Or have you ever, you know, print ad or heard a radio ad or, you know, seen it on TV? And everybody's, you know, they think about it and they're like, no, I really haven't. Well, Five Guys puts their money into the staff. And so what happens is every single week and every single location, we get one lunch shop, we get one dinner shop from an independent person. From the name of the company is Market Force. And they grade us on everything from, was their order correct? Did they get their order delivered in a timely manner? You know, it has to be under 8 minutes. Were they greeted properly at the register? Were they greeted properly when they went to pick up their order? Were the bathrooms clean? Was the condiment station clean? Was the music going? Were the lights all working? Were the open signs on? I mean, there is a whole big report that they go through every single week. I tell the staff, look, it's an open book test. You know what they're looking for, right? If we do our job and, you know, we get a good score, meaning 100, which is a perfect score, you're going to get paid. So if they get 100 on a lunch shop, they get big bonus dollars, anybody that's on that shift. And if they're on a dinner shop, they get bonus dollars. Here in New Hampshire, there's also a hospitality question. And if they score at least a 90 or above, I'll give them an extra $100, they split between the crew, too. So, I mean, you know, if you ask a lot of the supervisors or managers in Five Guys, what business are we in? I hope they don't say the food business. We really try to promote the idea of that we're in the hospitality business. Mm-hmm. Food is a part of what we do. Hospitality is what we're really all about. So that means the experience from the time you walk in the door to the time you walk out the door, and absolutely everything in between. And the food is a part of what you get at Five Guys.
Yeah, I heard a story about, I guess, one of these audits somewhere, not New Hampshire, but I don't know where it was. And apparently the bathroom was just not what it should be. And that was the only part that really failed. So the person, they knew who the person was responsible for that. That guy ended up with like a potato in his tailpipe and said his toilet, and his car wrapped in toilet paper so that he got the message.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, let's put it this way. We stress, you know, ad nauseum, I would think, it sometimes if you ask them on the staff, but we really stress the idea of teamwork. And I just mentioned it yesterday. We have our semi-annual, we call Five Guys Olympics, where we have a competition of all 10 locations. It happened to be in the South Nashua location yesterday because they won the competition the last time. But anyway, we go through a number of different events. And at the end, we talked about our food safety regulations, and we get audited just like Secret Shop. We get audited once a quarter, and it's unannounced. And I said to them, there is absolutely no way that one person can win this game by themselves, whether it's Secret Shop, you know, lunch or dinner shop, or Steritech. No one can win it by themselves. It has to be the team. And I, you know, I feel like that has impacted, you know, a lot of the staff there. I think they do understand that. But when we get new people, you know, it's a culture that we have to, you know, introduce them to, and hopefully they understand it and jump on board.
Interesting. Good story, because it is about the people.
Mm-hmm,
people
mm-hmm.
that work there. Without them, where are we?
That's
we
right.
Need the business and the people that come in.
Most definitely.
And that's, you're right, hospitality. Mm-hmm. You know, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
And I already know the answer, but I can
is
tell.
Is this a test? Uh-oh.
No, it's like
now test. I'm sweating.
And I go, like, that's good business. So periodically. I don't go every week. Oh, it's got to be Five Guys. But I like to call because I don't like to wait.
Mm-hmm.
So I always call. But what I don't like, and I know why, I walk in and I say, order to go for George. She says, who? For George. George is here. That's when they stop my order. So what did I say?
Let me back up. They should, your order, your burger, your sandwich should be ready. All right.
Okay.
That should be waiting on top of, if you look back at the, where the heat lamps are, where the fryers are, Your sandwich should be on top there. When George is here and you ordered fries,
right. They
want to drop the fries right then
right.
and there because we want to give you as fresh a batch as possible.
I noticed the hold up was fries because of freshness.
Yes.
And that's
so,
very important.
Yeah, so, you know, your burger absolutely should be ready unless you just called as you're walking
in. We're thinking, we're already brainwashed like fast food. It's going to be ready, boom, I'm going to come out.
Right.
What I mean. I go over there. I don't wait long. You're right. Sometimes you wait a little longer, but you satisfy yourself because you're waiting for fresh fries.
Yes. I mean,
okay, I didn't know they started it. You're like, they're ready. I know George is here. Oh, geez, George. No, you really feel George is here. Oh, okay. Boop. That burger goes on.
That's certainly a comment we hear, you know, from time to time that, I called in and it wasn't ready.
And do you know what I did? I called once and I played with it a little bit. I said, listen, I'm in a hurry. I just like to have it ready.
100%
ready. I'm trying to bunch the line. Got in here. George is here.
George the PIA.
the burger went on.
Can you tell my dad goes there often?
Yeah, no,
I can see that. Where are all the calories going? Like a slim guy over here.
Well, the lead guy is a 17-year-old's grandson.
Right? Oh, all right.
So he's had Five Guys, and I enjoy it, and I eat too much.
You and
it's,
me both.
It's
you know, the
it's
fries
excellent.
Kill me.
The fries are great. The burger's great.
The fries are amazing.
Cooking a burger really well done.
Yep.
And it's excellent. Okay? It's excellent.
Well, that's what Court was saying earlier. The company in general, the whole philosophy is let's do what we do well and do it the best.
I believe in that.
And we're talking French fries, and the secret of the French fries is, I know for one thing, most of them come from Idaho because there's certain growing conditions. The latitude has to do with the density of the potato and all that stuff.
Right.
So what happens after that? They get soaked in water for a while, right?
That's right. So we hand cut all the potatoes in the back. And just to go back to one of your earlier comments, all the potatoes come from Idaho with the exception of 2 months because they go out of season and we end up getting our potatoes from Washington.
Okay.
So they end up, instead of being Idaho's, they're Burbank's. And actually, I think we're right in that time period right now, actually.
Yeah, it's changing right now. I noticed it.
Yep. So we're actually the biggest exporter, if you will, of Idaho potatoes of any restaurant brand there is.
Wow.
Anyway. But we hand cut the fries, mostly in the morning. Hopefully, you know, we get as much done as possible. And then in the late afternoon, they'll end up doing, you know, cutting some more. But they soak them in the back to get all the starch out. There's definitely a big process to it. Generally, you know, potato prep, we have potato races on who can cut a 50-pound bag the fastest. That was part of the Five Guys
without losing
games.
A digit, right?
Yes. It's always something that makes me nervous. I make them wear a glove because, you know, that's the last thing anybody needs. Actually, I'll credit with Paul Myers with that one because he had said, all right, you know, court's nervous. Everybody has to wear a glove. And they did that. So anyway, but, you know, the whole process takes probably, oh gosh, 30 minutes roughly to get the fries ready for, you know.
Yeah, they've already been pre-cooked.
Well, and then they do the pre-cooks. That's just to get them out front.
Oh, to get them out front.
Yeah, because they gotta rinse them, get all that starch out, that definitely takes some time.
Yeah.
So, but I just didn't notice
this week at home the potatoes weren't the same. And that's what I said. I have a fryer at home.
Oh, I see.
And I go, it's not the same potatoes.
Not the same. Well, you know, it's interesting because they cook totally differently.
And people who don't know, somebody was there, you know, a company there, and I says, oh, it's the time of year, it's changing. What do you mean? What's changing? The potato? No, it's where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
No, it just runs across. The main potato is excellent, but I don't think you have enough of them, right? Main potato I found was excellent.
You know, I mean, honestly, I haven't.
That's your franchise. That's right.
Yeah, I haven't compared them. Control. I mean, I certainly had Main potatoes at home, and they're very good.
Yep.
You're right.
You can't beat the Idaho.
You know, but the fries are an interesting thing because probably shouldn't say this, but I will anyway. It is the most inconsistent food product that we cook, and mainly because we don't have timers. If you notice, you go into any restaurant, that serves a lot of fries, a lot of times they'll have timers. But because our fries, our potatoes come from different farms all over Idaho, sometimes Washington, and they're not frozen, they cook differently. So we have to eyeball everything. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the Washington potato, you know, those Burbanks, they actually, they're a little bit lighter, and they cook differently. So, you know, we have a couple tests that we do while they're cooking to make sure that they are what we're looking for. But, you know, we have some great fry cooks out there. And when some people may be new or, you know, if we get really busy and, you know, some people aren't quite as focused as we'd like, the fries come out a little bit differently.
Really?
Not often, but it does happen.
It happens.
Yeah, no, it happens.
Yeah. We should probably take a little break,
Yeah, we do. We need to take a break. This is an interesting subject.
Yes, it is.
It sure is.
I like it. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're in studio with Court Mendez, the New Hampshire Territory owner of Five Guys. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Well, I say let's go.
We're back. Just missed some music there for a second, but we're back. You're listening to The Pulse, 107.7, WTPLFM.com, powered by the Grand State Dairy Promotion. We are in studio with Court Mendez, New Hampshire Territory owner of Five Guys, and talking about burgers and fries. And, you know, I just want to mention one thing because we were talking about French fries. When you said it's the most inconsistent thing, well, I know every time I've gone, the French fries have been stinking awesome.
Stinking awesome.
That's good. That's good. That's
every
good.
Every single time. Because, you know, you can't beat those fries. And the burgers, too. I mean, you know, you get to put all those different toppings on. And I'm not a big burger person, but a Five Guys burger is darn good.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You tend to forget. I just recently, when we go, I go, oh, my gosh, I can have the grilled onions. I can have that. You know, it's not even an extra charge. So it makes you, it's like evolves. You know what
That's
I mean?
Right. That's right. All the toppings are
have
free.
A weight ketchup, right? But it changes it completely.
And we were chatting a little bit on break, and I think it would be good for the listeners to hear this about the milkshakes and what you plan on maybe doing with the milkshakes.
So I had mentioned earlier how resistant the family, the Morels, were to the idea of shakes. And the way that it was really sold to them was to have it really tie into what Five Guys is all about. And George, just like you were mentioning, you know, all the toppings are free. Well, we're going to have, I think it's 8 different toppings that we're going to be offering with the shakes. And When you come in, you know, you can have all eight if you want. And, you know, so similar to an all the way burger, you can just say, I'll have the shake all the way and you get all the toppings, but there's no extra charge for those. And the quality, the high quality of ingredients that they're using was another big selling feature, to the Morels. So for example, we're using Ghirardelli chocolate, which is very expensive and very high end chocolate, and it's great. But it really makes a difference in the taste of the shakes. And then the other thing, which was really interesting, was, of course, they wanted to bring the shakes over to the UK, which they have, gosh, I think they have 30 locations open in the UK already. But in the UK, corn syrup is illegal. And so they had to go back to the drawing board to find a mixture for ice cream that would allow for, you know, no corn syrup. So they've come out with a fantastic product. I mean, I've had it a couple times now, and it is really, it really, really is good. You know, and not just saying that. I mean, I was truly impressed with how good of a job they've done. So between all those things, and the no corn syrup, all the toppings are free, the high quality ingredients, you can get it any way you want. That is what Five Guys has been all about all the way along. So that's, you know, really the idea that they're going with.
So when in New Hampshire and where in New Hampshire will we be able to get milkshakes?
So,
Five Guys?
So I'm hopeful that Concord will be up and going. We're the end of August now. Possibly by the end of September, but, you know, more than likely mid-October at the very latest. Portsmouth would probably go 2 weeks after, and then you're going to see them everywhere shortly thereafter. So I'd say, you know, it's very likely that, you know, by midwinter, almost every location is going to have them.
The Morel family definitely has a game plan, and we can see stubborn at times. However, you know, with a little prodding with the franchisees and the family members, other things that happen. But I think drive-through is not one of the things that probably they're open to.
That's correct. Right. So, I mean, and the main reason for that, and believe me, I would be the first to jump at the idea of getting a drive-through.
Yeah.
But the challenge that we have is that everything at Five Guys is cooked to order. So, George, similar to what you were saying about the fries, our cook time for the burgers is 8 minutes. And an 8-minute cook time really is just going to create too many issues with having a drive-through.
But you forgot something.
Okay.
This is a surprise.
I'm in trouble now.
This is a surprise that you
get
at Five Guys. I'm surprised you didn't mention it.
What, Dad?
What?
It's a french fries. That there's more in the bag.
Oh. Right, you get the extra topper.
That is unbelievable.
You get, I mean, you know.
They give you some. A scoop goes in the bag, and then your order goes in.
You get the topper. So that's a thing that really drives the value of what you get at Five Guys Home. There's no question. I apologize. Jeez, you know, I'm going to be putting time out over here. You know.
And I'm also reading that the french fries must be shaken 15 times.
15 times, Carol. Jeez,
seriously?
You guys really know.
No,
that is great. That is one of the things that the shopper looks for. And believe me, we have gotten deductions on that. Like, I can't even tell you. Now, I haven't seen it in a long time, but there are a lot of, you know, there were a lot of deductions, and just that one deduction, you're out of the money. So, you know, there is a big time incentive for
that's
the staff
so important.
To, you know, follow procedure.
I even know the temperatures you fry the fries at, because I've checked.
Did you?
I could see it.
All right, I'm going to test you. What is it?
Well, usually it's two temperatures, a pre-cook and a regular, and you use one temperature for both. And I believe it was 350. No? Okay.
Well, I'll say this. I don't want to be like the bad guy over here. We actually are, all of our fryers are the same temp. We can use the, you know, any of the fryers for the pre-cooks or the post-cooks,
okay.
You know, the final
you
cooks.
Drop, that's the knowledge that I've had with it, and then you finish it.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct.
But
yep.
It gets complicated. It's complicated enough.
There is a process to it, for sure.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
Yep. Good. Yep.
But
yep.
It ain't 350. It's not 350. No, I think it was 360. Yeah, it was 360. I think it was hotter than I really anticipated. Anyway, whatever. You could see the dial right there. It's no big deal.
It's part of our health, inspection that it have to be the right temperature.
Very, very. Definitely. Yeah,
that's Jeopardy exactly. Music playing now for the next question.
I grilled him.
Well, this was really fun. Thank very you, good. Court, very much for coming in. I had like so many more questions for you. I wanted to know what it's like to walk in his footsteps during the day and where you go and what you do. And so we'll have to have you back.
Oh, gosh, I would love sure. that. I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
So thank you so much. Kale and Company up next. And Mike, we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye,
everybody. We'll be there. Bye.